subject that relates to the communion celebration, what it means for us, so I don't have a passage for you to turn to. It's been a long time since, you know, you hear too much about Kodak cameras and Kodak film. That's a bygone era. But you may remember that back in the day, Kodak used to have a very popular commercial, and it was themed the Kodak moment. And it capitalized upon the fact that there are moments in all of our lives, moments that we want to preserve, moments that we want to remember. And so in the course of our lives, people might take hundreds of pictures. And of course, today with our cell phones, smartphones, iPhones, we probably could multiply that amount exponentially. No need to pay for film to be developed. We can just keep them on galleries on our phone. But whatever the case, Kodak moments, moments we want to preserve, moments we want. And so sometimes we take those photographs and we put them in photograph books and we flip through those photograph books because we want to remember and to preserve the good times in our lives. When I visited my parents on recent occasions, I've gone through some of those old family photograph albums, and it's kind of cool now. You can take your camera and you can take photos of photos, and you can crop them and adjust them in any way you want. And I've got a lot of those photographs from those books on my cell phone, and sometimes I just like to go through them, and I like to remember those times in my life. Well, I don't want to trivialize the Lord's Supper at all today. I do not. But when we come to the Lord's table, it's kind of, it's a snapshot that allows us to look back and to remember. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, it says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Two times in that passage, he calls us to remember. And I find that that is remarkable. It's remarkable in that he even had to call us to remember. I mean, the question comes to my mind, how could we forget? How could we ever forget the price that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross? How could we help but remember? How could we ever forget the one who was bruised for our iniquities, who was pierced for our transgressions, who was crushed for us? How could we forget? But the reality is that as human beings, and Jesus knew this, he knew that we have a proneness to forget. We tend to forget. We all forget the things in our lives. It just happens. Things come into our lives that cause us to forget the past. Some years ago, I read a story about a town in Nebraska called Saltillo. And it was a town that, at one time, comparatively speaking for its day, was a thriving town. It had a hotel. It had a sheriff's office. It had a post office. It had a school. It had two saloons, and on and on and on. But over time, that town began to dwindle in size, and people began to move away. It dwindled in size, until finally in 1953, the last remaining building, a wooden grain elevator, was torn down. And in 1997, that little town met the fate, the same fate that thousands of other towns across our country have met. It was removed from the official maps of Nebraska. In effect, it now no longer exists. So you see, it happens. It happens. It happens all the time. We forget the past. We forget our history. I was reading recently, and I know it doesn't happen in Jeff's history classes, but the history proficiency level of kids today is very, very low. And we have forgotten as a nation our history. And if we forget our history, we have no understanding of the past. We don't really understand what America represents. We can't even identify without a history of what it means to be an American. And the same thing happens on a spiritual level in our lives, the proneness to forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, God warned his people about the danger of forgetting his past deliverances in their lives, his past works of salvation. And way back in Deuteronomy, God warned them, and he said, "Take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And so a Passover celebration was given to the Jewish people as a continual memorial, as a memorial commemorating for them from generation to generation to generation God's past acts of salvation and deliverance on their behalf, so that they would not forget what God had done in their lives. And so we come to the New Testament, and we come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, again, knew of our proneness to forget. And so, just as with the Passover, Jesus gives to us, he institutes the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a way of memorializing his great deliverance on the cross, a way of commemorating from generation to generation to generation, keeping it vivid, helping us remember what he has done, lest we forget. Yes, we can forget the cross. We can forget the cross in the sense that things can crowd it out of our lives so that its memory becomes diminished, so that its memory becomes dimmed in our minds and crowded out by what's happening now in our lives. There's three ways, as I thought about this, where our memories can be dimmed. Our memory can be dimmed and watered down by believing lies of the world, the falsehoods of the world. Jeremiah says it in Jeremiah 13:25. He says this: "This is your lot, the portion I have measured out to you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me, and you trusted in lies." You know how the world does things. The world kind of wants to whisper in our ears, "You know, sin is not really so bad. More specifically, you know, the sin in your life is really not that offensive to God." And the world likes to whisper in our ears that even if there is a hell, hell is not really so bad. And God is not really going to be so judging. And so our theology of the cross gets watered down. And if we buy into those lies, the value of the cross becomes diminished. Its value is minimized, so that if our sin is not so bad, and if God is not so judging, then
the cross is really not so saving. Another way, the memory of what Jesus has done can be dimmed, is that we find ourselves sometimes caught up and chasing after other lovers. Other lovers begin to replace our affection for God. Again, Hosea 2:13 says this, "I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, declares the Lord." And a New Testament example of what he's talking about there is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, where we have a man named Demas. He's kind of gone down in infamy in New Testament history. Demas had previously been a faithful ministry partner with the Apostle Paul. But Paul, in that passage, says Demas, because he what? Because he loved the world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. That word deserted isn't just a word that means to abandon, but it has the idea of to leave someone in the lurch. And here Paul was in prison. Paul was facing execution. And at that time, Demas, loving the world, abandoned, deserted Paul in his time of greatest need, left him in the lurch, and set sail for Thessalonica. Demas left Rome. He deserted the Apostle Paul because he fell in love with the world. In other words, the world replaced Christ in his affections. Another way in which our memory of Christ can become dimmed is by being satisfied with the blessings that God has brought into our lives, rather than finding our satisfaction in God Himself. We get so caught up in the blessings that God has provided that we become satisfied with those, and we forget to find our contentment and our satisfaction in the one who is the giver of all good things. And again, in Scripture, in Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 12, it says, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give you, a land with great and splendid cities that you did not build, with houses full of every good thing with which you did not fill them, with wells that you did not dig, and with vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you eat and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord." So you know, it is a challenge to remember. It's a challenge to remember. That's why over and over again, the Bible calls us to remember. We come to Jesus' message to the seven churches in Revelation. And I find it interesting that to two out of the seven churches that Jesus addressed, he had to say, remember. To the church at Sardis, Jesus said, "Wake up. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it, and repent." And to the church at Ephesus, he says, "You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen." Can you remember a time in your life when you were closer to Christ than you are now? Can you remember a time in your life when your love was greater? A time in your life when
you had greater enthusiasm for the things of God. If you can remember a time in your life when your passion was greater, your enthusiasm was greater, your love was greater, your commitment was greater, then it could be said that today you are in a backslidden condition. And God would call you to remember your first love experience of Him and to return to that kind of passion. And the Lord's Supper ought to call us to remember. There's a song from a while back. It's entitled, Try to Remember. Some of the lyrics go like this. Try to remember the kind of September when life was slow and oh so mellow. Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and grain was yellow. Try to remember the time of September when you were a tender and callow fellow. Try to remember, and if you remember, then follow, follow. I have no idea what that song is talking about. I went online and tried to find some kind of hidden meaning to it, and I couldn't find anything. But I want to keep the words of that song in our mind, and I kind of want you to, again, consider Jesus' words. He says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So we might look at those words of Jesus, and we might say, remember his body, which was given for you on the cross. Remember his blood that was shed for you. Try to remember. And if you remember, then follow, follow. 2 Peter 2:21 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Isn't that what the Lord's table ought to be all about? Remembering what he has done and renewing our commitment and following him. There's a story that's told of a boy who was brought up in a very idyllic, rural, bucolic kind of village, a very rustic, innocent kind of setting. The kind of village in which everybody knew each other, everybody trusted each other, and nobody felt any need to lock their doors at night. And in that little village growing up, there was a country school. And he sat beside a girl in that country school, a sweet, and up in the city. And he fell into the vice and the evil ways of that city. And he became a pickpocket. And he became a petty thief. One day, he had just snatched an elderly lady's purse. And he was just priding himself on a job well done and how clever he had been. And at that exact moment, who should he see at a distance coming his direction down that city street? He saw that same village girl, all grown up now, but still clearly someone he recognized. He looked at her, and she was just as pretty as she had ever been. She looked just as sweet as she had ever looked. And she had that simple radiance of innocence just glowing out of her presence.
And when he saw that village girl, all of a sudden, he was overwhelmed with a flood of memories. He remembered at that very moment, seeing that girl, he remembered what he had once been. He remembered the innocence of his youth, the purity of his youth, the virtue of his youth, the wholesomeness of his youth, and all that it had once been. And suddenly he saw himself now for the cheap, vile thing that he had become and now was. And burning with shame and burning with guilt, he leaned his head against the cool iron lamppost that lined that city street. And he said to himself, God, I hate myself. I wish I could just die. Memory was offering him a way back. And the Lord's Supper is a look back. The bread, again, is a snapshot reminding us of the cross. The cup is a snapshot reminding us of the blood. And it ought to remind us of our own testimony, of how we first believed in Jesus. It ought to remind us of how we first came to trust in Jesus Christ. It ought to bring back maybe a flood of memories, something of the excitement that followed that initial commitment of our lives to Jesus Christ, the excitement that we once had. And if you've strayed, and if you've fallen away from that commitment, and if you've fallen away from that fresh love experience of Jesus Christ, then the Lord's table is an opportunity for us to remember. And the Lord's supper becomes a memory offering to us a way back. So if you can ever remember a time when you were closer to God than you are now, the Lord's table calls you to remember. And the Lord's table offers you, by way of memory, the way back. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you knew us well enough to know our tendency to forget, our tendency to allow the things of the world to crowd you out of our lives. We thank you for the Lord's table that you gave to us as a way of reminding us, bringing us back to the foot of the cross on a regular basis so we would never forget what was accomplished there for us. And so, Father, today we come and we pray you might draw us closer to yourself as we take of the bread and the cup, that they truly would be a snapshot for us, calling us back, calling us to remember, calling us, Father, to repent, calling us to a greater and a fuller commitment. So we pray this, we ask it in Jesus' name.